I want to talk to you a little bit about Parshas Vayeshanan, Shabbos Nachamu, Tu B'Av, and especially about the Rashi on Vayeshanan El Hashem Ba'isahi Lemor. Rashi in the name of Chazal, Ein Chinun B'chol Mokom Elo Loshon Matnas Chinum. Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for a gift. Gratis. Afal pi sheyesh lo tzadikim litlos b'maaseim atovim. Certainly Moshe Rabbeinu could have asked on the basis of his merits. But ein mevakshin me'eis hamakom ela matnas chinam. Why should a tzadik want to use up his merits and take away from his schar and olam haba? He'd rather ask for a matnas chinam. And yet, from other sources, we get the opposite impression, that tzadikim can demand and will be paid for their merits. The Gemara, for example, in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin of Beis, on the pasuk in Yeshayahu Novi, Shimu Elai Abire Lev Asher Imatzem Levavchem Udvaktem Bi Harachokim Mitztaka. The Abire Lev Harachokim Mitztaka. And on that, Rashi says, Shekol ha'olam kulo nizonim b'tztaka b'tzidkaso shal HaKadosh Baruch v'lo b'schus shebi adam. Your average person, who's not exceptional, is nizon b'tztaka. He is sustained by God's compassion and his mid of chesed. But v'heim, with regard to the abir elev, the tzaddikim, is nizonim b'zroa, Rashi says, b'schus shebi adam. So whatever we see that the tzaddikim gain, that what Hashem bestows upon them, it's because of their zchuyot. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu asking for a matnas chinam? In fact, if you take a look at the Mishnah in Avos in the first parak, Al tiyu ki avodim ha-misham shivus harav al-manas l'kabel pras, the Rambam says that you should differentiate between the word pras and the word schar. Pras, says the Rambam, is given as a matana. Schar is a payback, it's a compensation. Pras is something that's given for a small measure of avoda, of work. And a pras is really tzedek v'chesed, where schar is compensation that's appropriate, that fits, it corresponds to the avoda. And when Altiyu Kavodim Amsham Shisrav Kabul Pras, we should not expect some sort of gratis, some sort of gift, a matana maruba of chesed utztaka, but rather we should expect to be paid according to, commensurate to the work that we did, our zchuyot, as we saw earlier in the pasuk in Yeshayahu Rechokim Mitztaka. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, strangely enough, is asking for tzedakah. Why? We're not meant to be an eved who's waiting for a pras, but rather we are waiting to be paid for the work as we deserve that payment. Why then does Rashi say, based on Vayeshanan, that the tzaddikim ask for a matnas chinam when they could be told in their maisim tovim, when bedin, it's magilahem, they deserve the schar? And perhaps we should learn the brisa about Tu B'Av. At the end of Masechta Tainis, B'chamisha Sabav Yom HaKippur of Benos Yerushalayim Yotzeis V'cholos B'kromim, the daughters of Yerushalayim would go out into the fields, into the vineyards. And very strange, Mishen Lo Isha Pona L'Sham, what did a bachelor, a single man, hear from these girls who were out there in the Krumim? The Brisa tells us that the beautiful ones would say, look at beauty. And the less beautiful ones, but had beautiful mishpachos, they had yichus, they would say, Eino Isha L'Banim. But what did the ugly ones say? Again, when you use the word ugly here in this context, you have to be very careful. Those who weren't so beautiful, so attractive, all of Bnos Tzol Yofos, but Mechal Arashem and relative, their beauty was an inner beauty, shall we say, not a physical beauty. And they used to turn to the men and say, "Kchu mekachem l'shem shamayim," take your mekach and take a wife purely for shem shamayim. And then they would add three words in the brayso: "Bilvad shetatrunu bezhuvim," and you should shower upon us gold coins, meaning you should really give us wealth and riches. Now, what kind of chutzpah is this? They're not beautiful. They don't come with money. They don't come with yichus. And now they're waiting for a husband to marry them l'shem shamayim. And they add a condition of zehuvim. They want money. I mean, they should be really paying the husbands to marry them. And what's it all about? It seems like such chutzpah. And I think the answer is that if a woman is beautiful, if she's rich, if she has yichus, then she can rely on her status, her special milah, and expect that her husband will support her in the most lavish way possible. A woman who doesn't have those attributes, she's not very good looking, she's poor, she doesn't have yichus, who's going to marry her? The answer is, she's going to look up to heaven, and she's really praying for a miracle. And if she's already praying for a miracle, then Hayad Hashem Tiktzar, the hand of God is not limited. If he's already miraculously bringing her a husband, then he might as well shower upon her riches as well. Let him be a rich guy. And if you take a look at the Gaon in his Bir on Mishlei, in his commentary on Nishmas Kol Chai, where we ask, says the Gaon, "Adheinu Azarunu, Hashem, you've always supported us, you've come to our aid, and why? Because of Rachamecha, we don't deserve this divine sustenance and protection. It must be not for our merits, but rather b'chesed u'b'rachamim. And lo azavunu chasadecha, we are absolutely sure and certain, we rely on Hashem, that lo azavunu chasadecha, that your chesed will continue. Al tidshenu Hashem elkeinu lenetzach. If God's help for us was a compensation because of our merits, then we would always be afraid, how do you know that we continue to deserve that kind of compensation, that our merits are still great? As the principle goes in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Dalet, Shema Yigro Machet. If God is bestowing bedin because of our zchuyot, then there's always a contingency element. But if Hashem is doing l'man chasadecha, we're not afraid at all, because chasadecha, Hashem's chesed, is lanetzach, is adheinu azarunu rachamech v'lo azavunu chasadecha. We guarantee that chesed of Hashem will continue. And Avraham Avinu turns to Hashem, and he believes in Hashem, he relies on Hashem, v'hemin b'Hashem, he's not afraid, shemi yigro rachet, and why? Because v'yachshavel lo tztaka, because Hashem was bestowing upon Avraham chesed and tztaka. Avraham realized he didn't deserve it, he couldn't demand it, and tzidkas omenes la'at, hayad Hashem tiktzar, once it's tztaka, then you can rely on it, it's reliable. And this is the pasuk that we say every Motzei Shabbos from Yeshayahu HaNavi, Hinei Kel Yeshuasi Evtach V'lo Evchad. When it comes to the Yeshua of Hashem, it's Kel Yeshuasi, Aleph Lamed, which is the Mid of Chesed. When it's the Mid of Chesed Yeshuasi, that's how we get the Yeshua, then Evtach, I can have total reliance on Hashem V'lo Evchad. And this is why the Tzaddikim do not want to be told of B'maseyim HaTovim. They'd rather not beseech Hashem to receive compensation, because if it's compensation, then it's conditional, it's contingent. They would rather rely on something like Chesed Hashem, absolute staka, because with Chesed Hashem there's no gvul, there's no limit. And even though, as we said at the outset in the Gemara in Brachos, based on the pasuk Yeshayahu HaNavi, Abirei Lev, Horechokim Yitztaka, that the tzaddikim will be nizonim b'zeroah. Rashi says b'schus. Nevertheless, they're hoping that Hashem will bestow upon them chesed and tzedakah that will not in any way detract from their zechuyot. If need be, they'll fall back on their zechuyot, and they deserve the goodness of Hashem to bestow upon them because of their merits, but they'd rather not take away from their zechuyot. They'd rather rely on Hashem's midah of chesed, which is, as we said before, lo netzach, lo azavunu chesed, hayad Hashem tiktzar. We know that Hashem wants its chesed. They can rely on that. That's not contingent. That's continuous. And this, I think, could lead us to understand what Chazal say in the Medrash on the Pasuk V'aschanan al Hashem v'esi lemar mikana tolomet she'ein lebriya klumet zel boro. That a person, any human being, any creature for that matter, has no right to demand. He cannot expect that Hashem will do for him. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents the shlemus, the perfection of man, the Rabban shel kol hanevi'im, but he comes b'loshe tachnunim. He doesn't expect, he doesn't think it's coming to him. He's coming with supplications. He's beseeching Hashem. And the fundamental message here in this Vaischanon is that a person must recognize that nothing comes to him. We live in a world of selfish people. We're all expecting things, left, right, and center. I saw a very beautiful bumper sticker the other day. It says, when you wake up in the morning, then Hashem has given you back your neshama. Okay? Now, everything else is a bonus. From now on, it's just chesed. We don't deserve anything. Everything is chesed. We have to thank Hashem and express our gratitude for everything. The problem is when we come with the attitude that everything is coming to me. And since we're coming up now on Tu B'Av tomorrow, which is the day of Shiduchim and the price at the end of Titus about the Benos Yisrael, I would like to tell a story which really illustrates what the problem with Shiduchim is today. Why is that so many people are having problems finding their basheret, so to speak, finding their shidduch? And the answer is because of this attitude of nobody can do enough for me. Everything is coming to me. I deserve it all. And no matter what my parents do for me, no matter what anyone does for me, it's not enough. A person, here's the story, a person asked regarding shidduchim, why is it that people go out to Amukah here in Eretz Yisrael? Is very common. There's a certain skula, they go out to the Tzion Kever of Yonos HaMen Uzziel. What's in it? What is that all about? And number two, they ask on the question of Tu B'Av, when Benos Yisrael would go out to the Krum Mechols B'Krumim, the big day love on Shulim, and they would borrow white clothing and they would find their Shidduchim. How is it possible that on the first meeting they would find their Shidduchim? Well, as far as Amuk is concerned, if we'll know something about Yonas HaMen Uzziel, and this is Al Derech HaMelitza, why is it that a person has so much trouble finding a Shidduch? He's got all sorts of ideas in his mind. He's got the list, what he's looking for, what's coming to him. He thinks he deserves the following. You know, she's got to be this, she's got to be that, he's got to be this, he's got to be that. Looks, money, yichus, everything you want. His head, and when I say his, it could be her as well, but his head is full of little birds that are floating around, that are telling him to live up in Shamayim. You know, he's got these dreams. He's living in a dream world, full of birds that are flying around in his dream. And the Gemara in Sukkah tells us about Yonas HaMen Uzziel that when a bird flew over his head, he would burn it. And therefore, maybe going to Amukah will clean his brain and purify it of all these birds. He'll put his feet down on the ground and he'll realize that he doesn't deserve anything. And maybe he'll find his batzug as fast as possible. And if you ask me, how can you finish a shidduch in one meeting? There's a tshuva, there's an answer to that too. The Mishnah says that the women folk would borrow clothing, white clothing. And when a person borrows clothing and he realizes, I don't have anything for my own, even the clothes that I'm wearing are not mine, he understands the message, he takes it to heart, nothing comes to me. And then even in one day, a shidduch can be made. The problem that we have is this deep feeling, this tchusha, as we call it, that magili, everything is coming to me. And that's what really is the biggest boundary and the barrier of shidduchim. You have people who walk around with crazy ideas, fantasies about who this woman is going to be and what he deserves. And a person lives in that sense of blowing himself up. If he has anava, if he has humility, if he has a recognition of the tov, of the goodness that people around him, his parents, his wife, are bestowing upon him, a sense of gratitude, this is the basis for a healthy relationship and a good marriage and the ability to find a marriage partner. It's interesting that the pasuk in Megillas Rus describes Naomi's two daughters-in-law who were married to Mahlon Vekili, took two greats of Klal Yisrael, and Naomi turns to her two daughters-in-law and she says, Lechna shovna isha lebeis ima yasa shemimochem chesed kashar sisim emameisim vimodi. What was the chesed that these two girls did for the mason? And the answer is that they agreed to marry them. Now wait a second, that's a chesed. After all, a woman wants to get married. Chazal tell us, Yosef Me'ish Rotza Lisa, a woman even more than a man, she doesn't want to be alone. Tavla Mesa and Tandu Mesa Armalu. And now you're telling me that they got two of the most handsome, significant men in Klal Yisrael, Machlam Vekilian, the Gedolei Ador, the Parnasei Ador, and they were doing a Tova, they were doing a Chesed with these two individuals. They should be lucky and thank their stars that they were able to marry these guys. And all that is true, but Naomi, the mother-in-law, she stands on the side of the chassan. And it's very important from her perspective that the groom, that he who marries her, should have a recognition of Hakaras HaTov to someone who agreed to marry them. When Rus, who was coming back into the stay, the sodos of Klal Yisrael, and she was completely poverty-stricken, she had nothing. And she asks Boaz, who's the shofet, the Godol Ador, that he should marry her. What's his response? Brucha at Lashem biti, etav chazdecha charon, this last chesed that you agreed to marry me min a rishon. It's even greater than your agreement, the chesed that you agreed to marry your first husband. And it's very strange. Why is that a chesed to get married to Boaz, who's the Godol Ador? And the answer is that that's the attitude that a person has to have. That if you agree to live a life with me as a marriage partner, then that's a chesed that you've done for me. I have a Hakaras HaTov. And sometimes it's tragic that after a person loses a spouse, he realizes tragically what she gave him, what she did for him, how she stood at his side. And you know, Isha Chayel Baila, she supported him in every way. But during the course of the marriage, you know what? We have the attitude that we did chesed by agreeing to marry her. And therefore we're living in this blind state. We don't recognize what it is to have a wife and how much we owe her. We should be korim mishtach, we should bow down to him. We're such ingrates. We don't realize that this is our life partner. Chazal say in the Medrash, Mi shu poseach pischol chavero nashel chayflo. Even if a person opens the door for you, you owe him. What kind of hakaras hatov do we have? Where's the mutual and reciprocal recognition and gratitude of a husband and a wife who do so much for each other? And you know what? Sometimes I think that the hakaras hatov that we have and we should have for our marriage partner should be even greater than the hakaras hatov we should have for the borei. Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'gyonu l'zman hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon such greatness, such goodness. We say in Nishmas Ilu Finu Malishir Kayom, if we had all the ability to thank Hashem, Einan Aftumas Pikim Lohodos Al Achas, May Elef Alfe Alofim Verive Rivovos. And I wonder sometimes if our Hakaras HaTov towards our spouse should be at least as great of a reflection as the Hakaras HaTov we have for the Borei. And you know what? In the case of someone who does good for others, a classical case you're familiar with, Yad Eliezer, they give out tzedakah. And there are people who run what we call gemachs, and they give free loans. And very often, what happens is the time comes when a person is supposed to pay back the loan, and they call you up and they say to you, look, I'm in bad straits, I still don't have the funds together. Is there any way that I can ask you, based on my situation, to take everything into consideration, give me a little bit of an extension? If a person who runs a gemach gets such a phone call, he's in absolute ecstasy, because most people wouldn't even bother calling and excusing themselves and asking for forgiveness. Most people would just go on and just make believe that they didn't realize the date of payment came back. And in both cases, they're not being paid back, but the difference is that at least one person faces and admits that he cannot pay back at this time. He asks for an extra chesed. Imagine a person comes in, he requests a loan. Okay, you give him a loan, he gives you a whole set of checks, each one is dated a month later, and guess what? The checks bounce back. Now he comes back and he asks for another loan. And he says he's going to pay both loans at the same time. And he gives you a set of checks for the second loan. And they too are returned. So you call him up and you say, what's going on over here? My name is so-and-so and I'm looking for so-and-so. He hasn't paid back his loans. And his wife says he's not home. And his wife says, you know what? This evening, he's going to be knocking on your door and he's going to be asking for a third loan. And it's very chutzpahdik. Could you imagine this case? The man has given you checks that bounce, and now he's coming not for a second loan but for a third loan. And it's so amazing that these people are not embarrassed. They come up to you and they say, All is well, and how you doing, and everything else. And it's like an ongoing holiday. And when you say to them, do you know that your check-in, just bounced? Well, he says, you know what? I think I paid you. And you begin to think, wait a minute, am I getting confused here? A person would not have the chutzpah to say he paid me if he didn't pay me. But wait a second, when did you pay me? I don't remember this. He says, what do you mean? Every time I greet you, I say to you hello and how are you and have a good day. That's what I paid you. This is the attitude. For sure, it's worth it to say have a good day, but that's not paying back a chov. And this is really a mashal, the nimshal of which is that we feel that we've paid back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he's granted to us. Don't we daven for him, in front of him? Don't we give him brachas? And the Gemara says that we are giving oz elokim because we observe the Shabbos and kashrus. We do so much for the Borei. That's our attitude. We really think that the Borei Olam, the Creator, owes us even more and more. Whatever he's given, it's not enough. A Jew goes to shul, for example, on Chol Hamoed Pesach, Chol Hamoed Sukkos, and he's holding on to the Dalet Minim in one hand. He's got his Esrog in the second hand. He's got a talis that's wrapped around his neck. And all of a sudden, he feels an itch on his back, underneath his neck. Some sort of fly is sitting on his neck. So he looks to the heavenly and he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Don't you realize that my hands are tied with mitzvahs? Please, Hashem, would you scratch my back? You know, this is the attitude. As if the Kadosh Baruch Hu owes him one. He's got to scratch his back. Again, this attitude that undermines and it just vitiates all our hakaras hatov, because we think everything's coming to us. We are the center of the universe. And therefore, Veschananu Hashem Ba'isai Leimar is, again, to repeat the words of the Medrash, the beautiful words of the Medrash, Mikana Talomit She'em Labiria Klum Eitzel Boro. He has no right to demand everything, anything. All he can do is ask for a matnas chinam. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu, with all his skliyot, is doing. He's asking for a matnas chinam. He's teaching us that the best we can hope for is a matnas chinam. If you take a look in the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Beis, Omer Rabbi Lezer, kol adam she'ein bodea osu l'rachim olav. A person who has no das doesn't deserve your mercy. She'nemar poski Yishaya ki lo am binosu alkein lo yirachmenu asehu v'yotso lo yichunenu. Rabbi Lezer says, kol anosein pito l'mishein bodea yisurin boin olav. And he quotes the pasuk in Ovadia, "Lachmecha yosimu mazor tachtecha ein tfuna bo." Very strange. I would like to understand what the Gemara is saying. Why is it prohibited to have rachmanis on a person who has no das? After all, a person who has no das, you know, we have to have rachmanis on such a person. And yet, because I gave him for my bread, I shared with him some tzedakah, I deserve yisurin. What, should we let him die of hunger? He's asking for a loaf of bread. And there's an answer in the name of the Stipler. He says that, this is his language, Barash Rishon Yesh Lavin Miu Adam Shein Bo Deah. Let's first talk about someone who has no Deah. What does that mean? How do we describe this person? Who is he? And the Medrash says, Kol Tamid Chochem Shein Bo Das Nevela Tova Himenu. Very strong, harsh language describing someone who doesn't have das. And the Medrash illustrates this by telling us the story of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the Aviyah Chochmah, the Aviyah Nevi'im. He takes Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And through Moshe Rabbeinu, there are so many miracles and an amazing Kriyas Yamsuf. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain, goes up to Shemayim, brings down the Torah. He dedicates himself to the Melechus HaMishkan. And when is he ready to go? Lifnai v'lifnim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Vayikra El Moshe, the first pasuk in Sefer Vayikra. When Moshe Rabbeinu is on the great level with all the merits that he has, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu can't enter in until he's called, he's summoned by Hashem. If he would enter in without being invited, he would be described and categorized as a Talmud Chochem Shein Bo Das, which Nevela Tovei Menu. Why? What is Das? Das means, the pasuk says in Mishlei, Adam Arum Koseh, which means Adam Chacham Kosa. Kosa means Mastir Das. He hides his Das. It means, says the Medrash, Adam She'enom is Gaya B'Chachma. So someone who does not Chori, he doesn't boast about his Das. He's Mechasa Das. Who Mastir Et Das. He hides it. He conceals it. And why is that so? Because really he understands that he himself has no das. He hides his das because he knows no matter how great he is, he really doesn't have das. A person who thinks he's great, he thinks he has all the merits, and everything's coming to him, as we discussed earlier, he's the balabas, he can ask for anything, demand anything, he has no das. And when is he going to finally realize that whatever he has really belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's been bestowed upon him by the Creator, and he has nothing of his own. Nobody owns him anything. as we saw in the Medrash, Ein Labir Yaklu Meitzel Boro. And therefore, if you're going to have Rachmanis on someone who is a bardas, you know, then you're doing chesed, and lefnim mishus hadin, you're going beyond the law, that's great. But then, the person asks for more chesed. And at this point, you don't have the ability to help him. He's not embittered by that. He understands that in the past, what you've given him, he asked for compassion, and you gave it to him. But supposing you have compassion on someone who has no das, someone who thinks he's convinced that everything is coming to him, and now he comes back a second time, he demands more and more, and if he doesn't receive as he asks, because you can't perhaps help him, then he gets upset and angry and embittered. You know what? In such a case, maybe it would have been better had you not given him the chesed in the first place. You would have saved yourself a lot of anguish because of the embittered, angry person who thinks everything's coming to him. The Gemara tells in Shabbos that Shiari Ochel, if you have leftover food and particles of food, you give it to the caliph. And how much should you give him? Meshach unde, udne, v'chutra basre. Give him a little bit, the size of his ear. Lahasmich lekach mako v'makil kdei lavricho. Shim lo kein lo yifter menu ot. If you give him globs, you'll never get rid of him. He'll always be back again and again and again. A person should never bestow goodness on someone who doesn't recognize out of a sense of gratitude Hakar Satov, because he's always going to demand more and more and more. And again, the lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu here at the beginning of Aschanon Matnas Chinam, that's all we can ask for. We cannot demand anything. Moshe Rabbeinu is begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let him, please, let me go into Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refuses. Vayitzaber Hashem bi. And the Pasuk says, Lamanchem. Rashi explains, Bishvilchem atem garamtem li. And the Pasuk says, Intilim vayakzifu al mei meriva vayera lemoshe ba'avuram. Now, the kas was Bishvilam. And yet the Pasuk says, Ba'avuram. Wait a second. This is a little bit odd. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. He hit the Selah. He didn't speak to the stone. What is this pointing of a finger of blame at Lamanchem? Atem garamtem li. Vayakzifu al mimei meriva. That doesn't seem to make any sense. But the Ran, in his famous drushes at the very beginning, he says that the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu is not because he hits the rock. As the Ibn Ezra says, Hadibra l'asela sheinenu shomea einena ki'im b'maka. What is the claim against Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe says, Shimuna ha'morim. He accuses the people. He's pogea. He insults the covet of the tzibur, of all of Klal Yisrael. The Rambam is very marach on this in his Pirush HaMishnayos. And even if each one may have deserved to be described as a mora, because there is an element of rebellion against Hashem here at the Meimariva, but nevertheless to call the tzibur as a tzibur morim, that's being pogay in the tzibur. It's not fitting to use those words and harshly derogatory words against the tzibur. Chazal tells us, Li'olam tehei emas tzibur alech. We always have to be afraid and in awe of the tzibur. The Gemara tells us, Gam kshechotim kriyim banim, when the tzibur, as a tzibur sins, they're still considered banim. And increases, the Gemara tells us, with regard to the Shemen HaMishcha, to the Ketores, excuse me, the Chelbina, when it joins together with the rest of the Samoni HaKetores, it adds. That's the greatness of the community. And the Medrash in Shir HaShirim on the pasuk Kulach Yafa Rayasi Kulach Yafa Umum Einbach, that this pasuk is a reference to Klal Yisrael, the beauty of Klal Yisrael. The Bali Musar emphasized over and over again that as a Klal, the nation of Israel is tzaddikim. Klal Yisrael are kedoshim. You go on a train ride, and the train ride gets close to the, sometimes drives close to the seashore, and you look out and you see the beauty of the sea. It's really amazing. It's overwhelming. And sometimes you can imagine in your mind that if you got off the train for just a second and you would take a cup and dip it into the water would be maybe dirty or maybe it would be salty. But when you look at the sea as a whole, the beautiful ocean, it's Neder Kodesh. It's absolutely beautiful. That's what it means to be part of Klal Yisrael. You want to pinpoint and single out one particular Jew, okay, you'll find some blemishes. But look at the entire Klal, the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. The Koach of the Tzibur is amazing. And when the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Vayamter aleim man lechol, udgan shomayim nasan lomo lechem abir vachal ish tzeda shalach lem lesova, every word in this Pasuk is in the grammatical plural. And the reason for that is because we're talking about Klal Yisrael. But yet, there's one phrase in this pasuk that's B'lashon Yachid, and that is Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish. Ish, who is this Ish? It's Yoshua, it's called Ish, Kachacha, Es Yeshua Benun Ish Asheruach Bo. And Chazal say that when he, Yoshua, pitched his tent at the foot of the mountain, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain, the man fell for Yoshua and only for Yoshua. In other words, with regard to Klal Yisrael, the man fell for everyone. And that's because even though there were members of Klal Yisrael who as individuals were not roi to the man, but nevertheless, if they were part of Klal Yisrael, they received the man. Yoshua moves himself, separates himself from the Am, from the people, from the Klal, from the Tzibur. He's no longer there. Why? Because he's dedicated to his Rebbe. But now, what kind of merit does he have in order to receive the man? It's got to be a schus of Kneged Kol Klal Yisrael. He's got to have such an amazing schus because now he's separate from the Tzibur. And now we return to the pasuk that we started with here in Parshas Vaschanan Yisaber Hashem Bi L'manchem. What does it mean, L'manchem? L'manchem doesn't mean that you caused me to suffer and to be punished. L'manchem means because of you, because of the kavod that you deserve. And I was pogea in the kavod of you, Klal Yisrael, as a tzibur. That's how the Ran understands in the Drush Saran. And this dimension of the tzibur and the kavod of a tzibur is multifaceted and tremendous repercussions. The Arachayim HaKadosh here and in many places speaks about the fact that if a person as an individual sits and learns Torah, the Shechina is kenegdo. If there are two people learning, three people, five people, if there are 10 people, Elokim Nitzav Badas Kel. That's already a whole different experience. Elokim Nitzav Badas Kel. It's not just the Shechina kenegdo, it's Klal Yisrael, because every 10 people is a miniature Klal Yisrael. Kol Be'asor Shechinta Sharia. And the power of the tzibur is enormous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never rejects the tefillah of the tzibur. Chazal tell us that when Elio was on the Har Carmel, Hashem responded to his bakoshes, supplications. Why? Bezchus Yisrael, because the Yisrael is a tzibur. And they responded in unison, Hashem Elokim. And when I think about this period of time that we're in, which in many yeshivas, including ours, is the beginning of Bein Azmanim. This week we went out to Bein Azmanim after the 10th of Av, after the fast day. And we have to be very careful during this period of Bein Azmanim not to separate ourselves from the Tzibur. Lo yipoked shem Bein Azmanim ve'yakir min olam oz tia torasenu toras Hashem tmima. Now, I'm not expecting that people are going to dedicate the Bein Azmanim to Torah study Yom of Alayla. But on the other hand, what's the hetter to be mevatel Torah for the entire Bein Azmanim? That's not acceptable either. With regard to Avram Avinu, when he stands in front of Hashem at the Mice of Stone and he asks Hashem to have compassion. Maybe there are 50 tzaddikim in Sdom, and we can save 5 cities. 40 tzaddikim, we can save 4 cities, etc., etc. It's always because he's looking for 10 tzaddikim in the city. Al no yichar Hashem v'adabra. Perhaps, says Avram Avinu, if there are 50 tzaddikim to save 5 cities, what it means is that Asura can save a city. That's the power of a tzibur. The pasuk tells us with regard to Yoshua, Vayhi biyos Yoshua biyericho vayisaido vayar vine ish omed lenegdo v'charfo v'charbo shlufa biyado. Halanu ata imla imlitzaredu. And the Gemara tells at the beginning of Megillah that his message to the people, to the camp, and to Yoshua the leader was Emesh Bitaltim Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim, the Aksha Bitaltim Talmud Torah. And when Yoshua says, why are you coming with this cherev? He says, Ata Bosi, and Vayolin Yoshua Balailu B'toch Emek. It means that Klal Yisrael needs the Talmud Torah, the Rabbin. And that's what's going to save the encampment. An amazing demand imposed upon the Rabbim at the time of Milchama. Here Yoshua is there in the encampment, the military campaign to conquer Eretz Yisrael, yet there's a tefiah, a demand of Talmud Torah to Rabbim. How it's possible, I don't know. But the Talmud Torah of Rabbim is greater than Akrovas HaTmidim. And therefore, we have to look for opportunities, even during Bein Azmanim, to link up with the Rabbim. You know that a person who's in a kollel, and at some point in his life, he decides that, you know what, he's got to leave the kollel. He's got to worry about parnasa. And we have a principle called ha-hechrech lo yuguna. We cannot castigate a person because of his response to a need. But yet, the pasuk says, v'yihi hevel ro'eh tzeon, v'kaino yoved adama. Both of them, according to Chazal, belonged to the spiritual world of Gan Eden. And yet at some point, apparently, they had to go out and work for a living. Hevel was a Rotzon, Kain was an Ovid Adoma, they were Osek v'Parnasa. Hevel was very upset about it. Because when the Pasuk says, Vayehi Hevel Rotzon, the Gemara tells us in Megillah, Vayehi is a Lashon Tsar. He was mitztayer, he was upset with the fact that until this point in his life, he was dedicated in the Ohel of Torah, to the study of Torah. But Kayin, it says, Vahoya Oved Adoma. Vahoya is a Lashon Simcha, Chazal say. He was happy to have to leave the Ohel HaTorah. And when a person cuts himself off from the Ohel HaTorah, at the end of the day, we know what's going to happen to him. He's going to be alienated and off, you know, he's like a branch that's broken off the tree. Sometimes we don't have choice. We there's a gzera and we have to do it. And it means that we won't be able to implement our desire and our yearning to study Torah. But our attitude is not meant to be one of simcha. It's not that we're happy. And if we're happy for that, you know, it's like Tino Kaborech Mibes HaSefer will be punished for that. Moshe Rabbeinu asks from Hashem, Ebra Novi Eres HaOretz HaTova, Asher v'Ever Hayarden. And the Gemara in Sota asks the question, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu has such a desire to enter into the Israel? Is it that he wanted to enter into the land to eat its fruits? Lisba mituva, to be satiated by its material beauty and its food and so forth and so on. No. Moshe Rabbeinu declares, there are so many mitzvahs that we can only fulfill in the land. I want to enter into the land so that they will be miskayim al yadi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Kluma to mevakesh lekabel schar. You want the reward? Malali anecha kilu asisam. I'm going to consider it as if you actually fulfilled and implemented these mitzvahs that depend upon Eretz Yisrael. And that's what Rashi means on the pasuk here, at the beginning of Eschan of Yom Hashem Eli, Rav Loch says Rashi harbe mizeh shomer lecha Rav Tov hatzofen lecha. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to consider it that you're anus, you're prevented through mitigating circumstances to fulfill these mitzvahs, but malo lo vakoski lasa, and therefore harbe tov tzofen lecha. But yet, on the flip side, when there was a gzera on Bnei Yisrael, that they will be sent li eretz lehem v'avodim v'inu osar arba me'oshona gamas ha'goyesh yavodu g'on enochi, the Shibud, there was a Gzer of Shibud, and the Meshabdim are going to be punished. Gam es hagoy esher da esher yavodu don anochi. And the answer is, as the Ramban embellishes it, Vatiten also mosu farmchol avod chatzki adati ki ezidu aleihem. Even though the Mitzrim was sent as, in a sense, messengers through divine providence to fulfill the Gzeir of Sheba, but nevertheless they didn't bemaze it. They did it because they wanted to do it. The Ramban says, Ki bedavra shar zodu aleha. That's what they wanted, and that's what they're going to get punished for. And it's all totally in the ratzon of a person. What is his sincere, deep felt will? You know, people who collect money for institutions, very often they report the following experience. They call up someone, ask him to give, and that person says, I'm sorry, I am so busy with my work, with my asakim, all my business deals. Can you come to see me at night? And a fundraiser will come and tell you the story that he comes in at night, and the balabas brings him into his room there, and he's not even interested in hearing what it's all about. The worst situation, and many fundraisers have reported that this happened to them, where the maidservant will usher the person, you know, the person's coming to collect into the room of the person, and you know the person, the balabas, is sleeping, you know. So the fundraiser tries to think, what can I do over here? He starts coughing, and he's trying to figure out how he can possibly attract the attention of the balabas. And all he hears is the loud noises from the television. And in such a case, a person has to realize, and again, he can take this to heart, and he can be so disheartened by these kinds of experiences. And yet, he should not take it to his heart. It's not his fault. You know, if the rich people sometimes act stupidly, then that's not your fault. You're here for a good cause, and you should realize that. And sometimes, you know, the balabas wakes up from his sleep, and the pasuk in Koheles is very appropriate here. Shlomo Mel says, "Lo lachachomim lechem uvimil macheros hashir hem tipshim avokayis aniga mevin madua." Very interesting. Shlomo Mel says, "Lo lachachomim lechem." Sometimes those who have to give out lechem are not necessarily chachomim. You know, they may be wealthy people, but they're not always chachomim. A man will tell you he works Yom Valayla. He breaks his back in order to earn a living. Audibly Olam Yulad. But yet Chazal say, Ashri Bishamola Vitorah. And you know, and your heart goes out for this wealthy person. You know, again, if he has to break his back in order to work and earn so much money, and he falls asleep, you know, you wish that he would at least open a Gemara at night and fall asleep over the Gemara. You know, indicate that he really, despite all his tiredness, and he's absolutely exhausted, nevertheless, if he was only able to, he would learn Gemara. He would learn Torah, because Chazal tell us that if a person tries to do a mitzvah, even if he's prevented from doing so through onus, through mitigating circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, will reward him. But if a person breaks his back over work 24/7, and when he comes home he goes to sleep and he doesn't even get a chance to open up a Gemara to demonstrate that he'd like to do so, and he has someone coming to collect from him for most of Satorah and all he does is sleep, I don't know what to say. Maybe the pasuk of Shlomo HaMelech, Lo lachachamim lechem, is appropriate. It's interesting, we learned recently in the Agadah and Masechta Brachos, those who were with me, Taf Yudam and Aleph, the Gemara asks, how do we know what's the source in the Torah for something called smuchim? That if two subject matters are contiguous in the Torah, there's a connection between them. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Smuchim la'ad li'olam asuyim ve'emes v'yashar. Rashi says that this pasuk is referring to Divrei Torah, about which Ne'emanim kol pikudav asuyim v'emes v'yashar. The emes v'yashar is a reference to Torah. And smuchim la'ad li'olam is an allusion to the concept of smuchim. And when it says that litzorech v'lo davar reku, when Rashi needs this pasuk of ne'emanim kol pikudav asuyim v'emes v'yashar to demonstrate that emes v'yashar is a reference to the Torah, that's an important point. Emes v'yashar is a reference to the Torah. In truth, the entire Torah is made up of smuchim. Even though the Gemara in Yevamos quotes Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't darshan smuchim, but in Sefer Dvarim, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you have to darshan smuchim. And if you take a look here in Masechta Brachos, in the Sheet of Kubetzes, he says, why is it that everybody agrees that in Sefer Dvarim there's smuchim? And he writes, "Mikayim shem Moshe Rabbeinu Amar es Parshiyos Sefer Dvarim beRetzef ubeSidur Acher meAsher Parshiyos Tavadai Sidur kdei Lidros Smichus Parshiyos." Moshe Rabbeinu organized the entire fifth Sefer, the Sefer Dvarim, in such a way that there's a sequence here. Everything follows. It's a definite, deliberate arrangement, and therefore we can be Doris Smuchin. It's not happenstance that one parsha is written next to the other. Let's take a look at two psukim that are near each other in Sefer Dvarim. Vaneshev Bagoy, Mul Beis Pa'or. And almost immediately after that, it says, V'ata Yisrael Shma El Achukim. What's the connection between these two things? Yashvu Mul Beis Pa'or, and now you have to listen to the chukim. And the answer is, Klum B'nei Chorin Onuf Lipotim Yisrael. The chukim, mitzvos that the rationale of which is not clear to us, we don't understand them, the Eitzahar and the Umos are trying to seduce us and be Mesis and tell us not to accept the Chukim and not to follow the Chukim. What do we respond to them? And the answer is that we should respond, we have total reliance on our Creator. We fulfill His mitzvos. You, on the other hand, what do you have? You are shtufim b'chukim nivarim. You live an immoral life. You're dedicated to to laws that are absolutely distorted in the ethical realm, and you're telling us that we have nothing? That our chukim are meaningless? What a chutzpah! And the answer is that our chukim come from the Ribono Shel Olam. But where do your chukim come from? Your chukim are the chukim of Molech, of Markulis, of all sorts of idol worshippers. And this is what you follow? Is Vaneshev Bagoy Mul Beis Pa'or. We should look at Beis Pa'or. Take a look at the chukim of Baal Pa'or. And see how the Jewish nation is greater and loftier and more ethical by billions of trillions of light years. We are dedicated, therefore, of the Ata Yisrael Shmael Achukim to our Holy Torah. When we view the lowest levels of the Rishoyim, of how they stoop to it's repulsive. And then we begin to appreciate that we are given the chukim that give us the ability to enter into Gan Eden. Min ha-kotza la-kotza, just by sheer contrast. When we see others who are cynical about our religion and about our statutes, we have to look at them and see how they live the life of Beis Pa'or. Take a look at the contrast between, we just experienced the Tisha B'Av, between the enemies of the Jewish people throughout the generations, the low level that they reached, and Klal Yisrael Kulam Kedoshim. We spoke about Chukim and the fact that the Yetzahara and the Umas HaOlam, they anguish us and they claim against us, try to undermine the Torah by saying, look at these Chukim, but our response is Chok LeYisrael U'Mishpato Elokei Yaakov. And the Ramban explains in Sefer Dvarim later on that even chukim have a rationale. Perhaps in the future we'll appreciate what that is. In love, at the end of time, we'll be able to understand and appreciate the chukim. But the Yetzirah is mitzayir esadmi. He needles the person and causes him anguish, tries to trip him up. And ein lecha reshus laharach reha. We should never, never allow ourselves to doubt. This would be a sin. We'd have to do tshuva for such a thing. And we spoke about the smichus of parshias vaneshev bagoy mul beis pior v'yati yisrael shmael achukim. Beis pior. This is the lowest avodah zorah that we can imagine, the most repulsive beis pior. I'm not going to go into detail to describe their form of cult, of their cultic form of low, repulsive, disgusting, animalistic way of serving pior. And the Rambam tells us at the beginning of Chulin in his Perush HaMishnayos that idol worship is fit into two categories. There are those who actually take this seriously. All the shtuyot hametanfim haseichel, says the Rambam, they take it very seriously. But the larger proportion of the Ovdei Avodah Zorah is they're just doing the way they were taught. They're wise people, so to speak. Their priests have taught them. And that's the average rank and file over Kochavu. You meet often, especially here in Israel, a Baal Tshuva, and you ask him, what brought you to do Tshuva? And he tells you he was out in India, after he served in the Israeli army. And what happened when you were in India? And he describes how he came to one of the gurus. He's a very old man. And this person turns to the very sophisticated idol that they have, and he burns some incense in front of him, a ketores. And the young Israeli boy is very curious about this. He wonders and he asks the priest, "Do you actually think that this piece of stone, this idol, is smelling the ketores? Is this the mixture that he likes, that he enjoys, the aroma?" And his teacher turns to him and says to the Israeli, look, I don't know. I can't answer your question. I just know that my grandfather brought this ketores, my father brought this ketores, and I bring this ketores. Meaning, it's minig avosecha v'yedchem. That's my chok. And all of a sudden, the Israeli starts thinking to himself, wait a minute, my grandfather was religious. My great-grandfather was religious. My great-great-great-grandfather was religious. You know, maybe there is something to this kind of idea of a chok that's passed on. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vaneshi Bagai Mul Beis PR. Take a look at the line, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone's waiting on line to serve the PR. And why? Because Maaseh Avosechem Yedchem. There's no reason, there's no rhyme, there's no logic. It's antithetical to everything that's human, that's natural, that's logical. And yet they're waiting on line to serve the PR. And in truth, although this is a very extreme kind of example, Baal Pa'or, but nevertheless, when you look at a lot of the things that you see amongst the Goyim, B'chukoseyam lo teilechu, some of them are mind-boggling. They're chukas ha-goyim, the way they dress and the way they cut their hair. I mean, it's crazy. You take a look at some of the suits they wear, and the buttons, and the styles, and it's just crazy. But the answer is it's a chok. I mean, that's the way they were trained, and that's the way they do it. And Vaneshi Bagal Mul Beis PR says Moshe Rabbeinu, if that be the case, then take a lesson, learn something from Beis PR. If they're following the chukim and waiting a line because that's what we have to do, the Ata Yisrael Shmaya LaChukim L'man Tichyu. This will give you life. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes even further. He says, "Ushmartem vasisem ki hichoch maschem v'inaschem l'eni ha'amim." This is your wisdom. Asher yishmun es kol achukim ha'ela v'yomru, they'll declare rak am chacham v'novan agoya gadol azeh. Now wait a second. We're talking about chukim. Chukim means that they have no rationale, they're no logic. And we know, as Chazal tell us, that the Umas Olam come and they needle us and they mitzire us and they say, how can you do this? And yet here in this pasuk, Chak Am Novon Chacham V'Novon Agoy Gadol Zeh, they come to praise Klal Yisrael as an Am Chacham V'Novon. How is this possible? So the Saba Mikelm, the Alter from Kelm, used to say that when a person sees the Pu'ulas HaChukim, whether it means an individual or a nation, Ushmartem es chukosai vasisem osam, al tikri osam al atem, kilu asol liatzmo, it means that yotzar al yodam es ishiyuso bona es atzmo bal korcham modim ishabchum forim. You can actually see the results, the impact, the repercussions of the avoda, of the fact that a person builds his personality. And how? Because he's dedicated to the chukim of his belief with faith. And then people around him will be mishabeach. They'll be mefarim, they'll praise him, they see how he builds himself. Look at the person, look at the result of this dedication to the chukim. Look at this Am Chacham V'Novon. They begin to appreciate the pu'ula, the impact of the chukim on a person and on a nation. And there's a phrase here in Israel, I don't know, I think even in America I heard it about Shabbos, that more than the Jewish people observe the Shabbos and preserve the Shabbos preserve the Jewish people. This is what Torah Mitzvah does. It engenders, it creates a sensitive soul, a nation that's built on Musar, on ethics. And what we're looking at today, unfortunately, in the world, is a world of aggressive, haughty behavior, of animalistic behavior. This is a world without Torah. And the truth is that sometimes you can visit people who are incarcerated in jail, and they have an appreciation for the greatness of the people of Israel. And often you wonder, why did these criminals end up in jail? And the truth is that they didn't get any education. There was no moral training. They were not sensitized. they weren't raised in yeshivas and Torah institutions. And of course, we can very often anticipate in the society that we live in that they'll go down, down, down. If only we could reach out to these people before they become criminals. If we can bring them in to study Torah, we can elevate them to the level of our nation, of an Am Chacham V'Navam. We would avoid so much tzar, so much suffering, and so much criminal action. I mean, Moshe Lamad Dover Dome, there was a terrible accident at a certain tzomet, at a certain cross point, because there was no... There was no robot. There was no Ramzor, as we call it in Hebrew, and so the people Nebuch died in this terrible accident, and the Varatzol that they called the Hatzola people, the ambulances, so they didn't come on time. It was a whole Vadat Chakira, and as a result of the investigation and the inquiry, they decided, you know what, we have to beef up the chilutz, you know, we have to make sure that the emergency units are provided with much more advanced technology and various methods. But they missed the whole point again in this mashal. Well, why didn't they just spend a couple of bucks on setting up a ramzar, you know, a traffic light that could have avoided the whole accident? And in a sense, our traffic lights are the laws of the Torah. They tell us when to go forward, when to stop. And these are the traffic lights, the Chukei HaTorah, that prevent us from terrible accidents. And if only we can bring our fellow brethren into our closeness and to see the beauty of the Torah and learn the Torah, it would change the whole nature of society. I have no doubt about it. That's the Am Navon V'Chacham. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he describes this people, and he says Yishmu Neskol Achukim Ha'ela, and Moshe Rabbeinu establishes that Limaditi Eschem Chukim Mishpatim Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai Ushmartim Vasisem. Rashi says Ushmartim Zo Mishnah, and Vasisem Kemashmo, and Kihi Chachmaschem Bezos Teichoshem Chachom Menuvonim Beinechem. It means that even though the chukim are mitzvos that we don't understand the explanation, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what they're all about, but nevertheless, Chok Hu Yisrael Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov, and the Sotan, the Umos HaOlam HaMetzarim Es Yisrael, as we said over and over again, and therefore chukah means Gzeirah Hi Milfana, Ein L'Chol Rishus La'Arach Reo. And now, when the Goyim hear about this, as Chukim Ha'ela, they respect us. Even though on the one hand they make fun of these Chukim, because how can you follow, you know, robotically when they make no sense, but yet somehow they admire us, and they declare, they sing our praises, Am Navon V'Chacham. And Ushmartem, here says Rashi, Ulamaditem Vasisem, and it's very interesting that Kihi Chachmaschem Binaschem, the emphasis here is on Vasisem, not on Ushmartem. Ushmartem Rashi identifies with learning, with studying. That should have been Am Chacham V'Navon. The Torah itself is truth, and it's clear. And on the one hand, the Umos HaOlam, they don't understand, they don't appreciate the Chukim, because after all, there's no human rationale to justify the Chukim on that level. But nevertheless, Vasisem, there is a beauty that even the Goyim can observe and appreciate in the Jewish nation, that the Jewish people have certain midos that are so positive, certain sensitivity of soul. They realize, the Goyim, that by observing our law, our statutes, it has a tremendous impact on us, on our nation, as people, as human beings. It's a cathartic experience. It purifies the nation of Israel. Chazal tell us, the Gemara at the end of Makis, lo nidnu ha-mitzvah el-kedei l'tzarif b'emes ha-briyos l'zakech es Yisrael, l'fichach hirba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah mitzvahs. And even the umos ha-olam, those who are honest and intelligent, and are not biased and prejudiced against us, when they see how the mitzvahs have refined us, have purified us, a zikuch, a tziruf, and it's all because of the chukim that we observe, then rak am chacham v'dovin ha-goya gadol hazeh, and the proof is in the maisa, in the way we implement our lives, the way we live our lives. We're an am chacham v'novin, v'novon. Novon is bina. Bina means havon is dover, yitok dover. They understand, they appreciate that we have a certain wisdom. There are goyim today in the Far East, out there in the Asian countries, who are beginning to appreciate what Torah is, and they themselves are asking to study Torah because they see the proof of the pudding, that we're an Am Chacham V'Novon. But Am Chacham V'Novon means more than just abstract wisdom. Am Novon V'Chacham means the sensitivity of soul, the levels that a Jew is able to reach, the sanctity of a Jew, if only he exposes himself to Torah in its study, ushmartem and vasisem, to implement and be totally loyal to fulfill the chukim and the mishpatim. Yiratzom et his will, that we first and foremost overcome that attitude, that terrible attitude of everything is coming to me, that we realize in all great humility that whatever we have, we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch, to our parents, to our siblings, to our wife, to our marriage partner. When we realize that God, Baruch Hashem, has given us tremendous chukim, we don't always understand them, but we know that if we're loyal and we're dedicated to their fulfillment, it has a tremendous impact on us to uplift us and to purify our souls. All we have to do is take a look at the chukas hagoyim and the baal pa'ar and see the low level that they reach, but they have a tradition. You know, it's chukas. It's minig avoseicha b'yedchem. And more than that, our connection, each and every one of us, as individuals to the Tzibur, if we link up to the Tzibur, the tremendous, awesome power of the Tzibur Yiratzon, will be zocha to these levels, to be considered an Am Chacham V'Novon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us, whether it's as the Tzaddikim deserve it, or at least as Chesed, that we can always be Boteach Hashem, with His compassion, He'll grant us all that we need to protect ourselves, our families, to steig, to dedicate ourselves to the energy of Torah study, to rise and uplift ourselves higher and higher, Yalav Hashem, to sensitize and purify our souls. Kein Yiratzon. Amen.